Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's say you're on your lunch break. You're walking outside. You hop in the car. You're going to go to your local buffet. Maybe it's the TGI Fridays. You get a free-for-all. Maybe it's the Apple. I don't even know what your plans are right now, right? You jump in. You want to know what's going on with DC Sports. That's why we do the Beltway Blitz every day at noon, so we can tell you what's going on in a succinct and one-segment fashion. To do that, we will start off by talking about the Redskins. Craig Hoffman joins us to do that very thing. He covers the Redskins for this radio station. Craig, I think for right now, the structure of this front office, such as it is in place. All roads kind of lead to Ron Rivera. How do you think this structure is going to go in terms of scouting, things like the Senior Bowl and draft evaluation and the like? Give me kind of the rundown of how you think this hierarchy looks like.
Yeah, I mean, all roads do run through Ron, but there's like a big one that runs through Kyle Smith, and then that road connects to Ron Rivera Avenue, or however you want to say it. You're a comedian. You can make that analogy and make it funny way better than I could. But Kyle Smith is the head of the personnel department. I don't think that's going to change. It's definitely not changing before the draft. And then we'll see if it changes after the draft. Kyle has been in this organization for a decade now. He's done a great job as the head of college scouting. You look at a lot of the young players that have succeeded and have drafted, or that they've drafted over the last couple of years since he took over in the dumpster fire that was left behind by Scott McLuhan, or by Scott McLuhan's firing, I should say, and how they have really kind of built an identity of the type of player they want, not just from a skill standpoint, from a character standpoint over the last couple of years. Unquestionably, the strength of this team has been the young players. And even before that, when he was the Southeast scout, some of the players that he was on top of finding were some of their better players. So Kyle is the guy in charge of all that stuff. They made that official in terms of naming him VP of player personnel so that he's now over the pro scouting staff as well. And then in conjunction with Ron, they make all those major decisions if they need to trade players, who they're going to re-sign, who they're going to target free agency, all that kind of stuff.
Craig, there's a title, Riverboat Ron. Is there, on that theme then, maybe a chance, a sliver of a chance, that they would entertain trading the number two pick? Because you know, as we get closer to the draft, some general managers get desperate for a player that they see high on their board.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too early in the process to rule anything out. I don't think they've made any decisions yet. The scouting process is still relatively young. You know, of course, the scouts and Kyle's staff and the guys that have been under Kyle on the college side for the entire last 9 months since the end of the draft last year, they've all been working. So they've got a good feel for these players. But in terms of Kyle going through and rating the board and seeing how close is Chase Young to Isaiah Simmons or whoever is next on their board, Derrick Brown from Auburn, probably not a position they need a defensive tackle, but I talked to a scout a couple weeks ago that said he's going to have Brown right there with Chase Young. He thinks that highly of him, and there's going to be certain guys that think that throughout the league about Jeff Okuda, the corner from Ohio State. And if a team like Miami gets super desperate for Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback, or someone else gets super desperate at number two, and you know you can trade back, for instance, with Miami at five, and if the two quarterbacks go 1-2, go Tagovailoa, and if you have Simmons, Okuda, Grant Delpit, Chase Young, all those guys kind of not that far apart, and you can pick up an extra first-round pick in a year when you don't have a second, or you pick up that second again, I think they'd probably at that point consider it. The question is, how far ahead is Chase Young? And I think because Rivera is new, they can take that kind of risk, where if you're a front office like last year where you feel like you're on the chopping block potentially, or some other organizations where GMs are on the chopping block, you just take Chase Young because that's what conventional wisdom is, and then at least you can be like, well, that's what everyone else would have done. So I don't think you can rule it out, but I would still say the overwhelming favorite thing of what's going to happen is they take Chase Young because that dude's he's real good.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of conversation about that, especially leading up to the draft once workouts and everything else happens. Hoff, appreciate it, buddy. Thank you as always.
You got it. See you guys.
We'll see you, dude. Let's talk some puck, please, Tommy. We're going to the Russell Rex to talk to our pal Chris Russell about these Washington Capitals. Russell, I think they need to make a move somehow. I think they need to upgrade from Nick Jensen to somebody else that's not Nick Jensen at that sort of number four defensive spot. I don't like that second pairing. What options do they have, though? It seems pretty limited, right?
Yeah, because you don't have a whole lot of salary cap space, and it is a situation where, you know, if you change that up, then you're going to likely have to give up, say, one of your top prospects, or, you know, if it's going to be somebody that's going to make a difference, you're going to have to give up something, of course, to get them, and you're going to have to figure out the whole salary exchange, and what do you do with Jensen if you can't dump him off? So there's all sorts of things here going on. The hopeful thing, there was a little bit of time where Jensen there seemed to get a little bit better, and now I think he regressed. I'm trying to remember the game. I think it was the Jersey Devil 5-1 loss where he just got absolutely mutilated behind the net, and they gave up a quick goal. And you just can't have that because as we found out last year and as we found out many years, the razor thin margin of the NHL playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs, that could cost you not only a series or a game, it could cost you a season.
Chris, I never believe anything with Braden Holtby is physical. I completely believe it's mental. The fact that he's going to the All-Star game, he's going to be around the game's best. He's going to hear his name constantly mentioned all weekend long as All-Star Braden Holtby. How much, even though he's likely to get lit up in these All-Star games because goalies always do, but how important is this weekend maybe for him to reset mentally, as clearly he's in another one of those cases again where he just seems to need a mental reset before the second half of this regular season starts for the Capitals?
Yeah, it's a great question, Pete. I mean, listen, I don't want to pretend that I know Braden super well, but I've interviewed him and been around him enough over the last couple of years that I think you're right about the more mental rather than physical. And maybe just not only hitting reset and being around these great players this weekend in St. Louis and realizing and remembering, oh, yeah, I am a world-class goaltender. Oh, yeah, I did win a Stanley Cup. And, oh, yeah, I went through this almost exact situation with some differences, of course, 2 years ago, and I rebounded for the save and the cup and all that stuff. So maybe that helps. I think just as much as that stuff will help, just taking the last, you know, 3 or 4 days off since they last played Saturday afternoon. And even though he didn't play particularly great in that game, the fact that they came back, won, finished the first half strong, all of that, I think, combined should help him moving forward.
Thank you, Russell. Always appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes. That is Chris Russell on the Caps. He can do many things. He wears all the hats, and he wears them very well. Sometimes he has to wear it to cover up his hair, which was shaved by us because he made a bet about the Redskins. Anyway, speaking of Redskins, Jay Gruden no longer the head coach of the Redskins. We knew that after 5 games. And Bruce Allen talked about a turnaround and see if we could beat the Miami Dolphins. And they were 2-point conversion that was failed away from not doing that very task under the watchful eye of Bill Callahan. Jay Gruden is coaching down in Jacksonville. That's been announced. Are you pulling for me? I want to hear from Redskins fans. Do that at 12:18. Jay Gruden entered his 5th season here in Washington, set up to get fired. This setup you could see from a mile away, more than that, hundreds of miles away. You could be like one of those guys on the perch of the ship. Land ho! Jay Gruden fired ho! Right over there. It's going to happen. It's pretty easy to see. Obvious, right? Everybody knew this was going to go down, especially you draft a rookie quarterback. You got yourself a giant salary cap penalty. And I put that in quotes in what Alex Smith is and was and will still be, by the way, for a couple more years. You're not out of the woods on the Alex Smith deal anywhere. Nope. Coming up soon. Thanks again, Bruce. Trent Williams not playing for you. Darius Geis hurt all the time. Jordan Richardson. You combine those two players, you got zero production. Trent Richardson. What the hell's the matter with me? Good Lord. Trent Richardson, fat, out of shape, probably in the XFL. Paul Richardson, a do-nothing receiver for the Redskins. And Trent Williams. My God, Thom. What the hell was that?
Do you want to start over? You want to start the segment over?
Yep, do it again. I mean, good heavens. Thanks for tuning into the show. Welcome back from that long commercial break. It's Grant Nanny here on the Fan. Pete is in for GP. Jay Gruden was set up to fail in his final year
Love
here in Washington. Coming into the season,
You got a rookie quarterback you're tasked with developing, right? Trent Williams not going to play for you. Jordan Reed hurt in the preseason. Got Paul Richardson not really contributing. A whole bunch of things that were going against the Redskins. And oh, by the way, Alex Smith and the salary cap penalty. Much better intro to the segment the second time than the first time. Point of the dude's story is this. Jay Gruden was set up to fail. That's not an excuse for Jay Gruden, by the way. I got plenty wrong with Jay Gruden. I never thought that Jay Gruden was as good as some members of the media wanted to crown him, right? Some people just like him because he's shucking and jiving up there because he gives you a quote, man, just like this, man, I don't know. He's up there doing his thing. People like him more than they should. And I never thought he was anywhere near as bad as a lot of the fan base that will never forgive him for how Robert Griffin ended, right? That the ending of that for Robert Griffin, I believe I'm using this word correctly, Tommy, the Robert Griffin stands, will never forgive Gruden for how that all went down. Even though the writing was on the wall, they refused to read it. They kept their eyes closed, their blinders on. You should have known it was over. I was one of you at one point, and I knew it was over. You got to get on my level. But they'll never forgive him for that, and that's just, you know, you can't talk to them about that. That's fine. But Jay Gruden got vilified. Some of it probably fair, some of it not. I'm wondering, what do you think? Do you think Redskins fans in general have animosity towards him? Or are they just, I hope he does well. He's a good coordinator. He'll be fine in Jacksonville.
I don't think they give two you-know-whats,
really?
To be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, look, he had a brief run of success here, very brief. Look, he's proven to, at least for the short term, be correct about Robert Griffin III, who's now just a journeyman backup in the NFL. Jay kind of had a laissez-faire, you know, attitude about things. He wasn't really confrontational with the media or anything. So there really isn't anything to be super duper angry or be vilified toward Jay for. I mean, you know, people knew when the schedule came out this year they were going to be, you know, they were going over. I mean, at the start of the season. I mean, the schedule was just conspired against them, and it put all the ingredients together to what everybody on this radio station and in the media everywhere figured out, that he was more than likely going to be adios after the winless start to the season. And, you know, I don't think Redskins fans are going to care one way or the other.
I respectfully disagree with that. I think Redskins fans...
You don't have to respectfully disagree.
No, I disagree.
I'm a big boy.
I want to do it respectfully. Okay. I like to disagree respectfully. Or I could be like, Pete, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We could do a sports radio show. We could do that. But that's not really my style. I respectfully disagree, and here's why. Head coaches with the Washington Redskins, good, bad, or indifferent, everybody thinks they're smarter than that guy. Everybody thinks that they could be winning. If you buy into the Redskins on an annual basis, if you buy what they sell you, that we're close, we're right here, you know, whatever the jackass that calls in the junkie sometimes and just always predicts 13-3, even though they haven't done that, you know, in 30 years plus, or whatever it is, close to 30 years. Then you blame the coach. Blaming the coach is time-honored, right? It's you know, you blame the quarterback when you don't win, you blame the coach, et cetera. It becomes very easy. People are passionate about whoever the coach is or was, right? There are certain guys that are made. Joe Gibbs, if he, you know, went 0-16 for three straight years, would still be a hero. And right,
because he won three Super Bowls.
Because of what he did. But blaming the coach, people are passionate about that kind of no matter what. Right? Now that Minuski's out the door, anytime a pass was completed, bleeping Minuski, no chance it was on Jimmy Moreland. It was clearly Minuski's fault, right? People are going to blame the coach, sometimes too much so. I can find plenty of fault with Jay Gruden. I can find some things that he did very well, like get receivers open for the most part. A bunch of no-names are able to catch passes for him because guys are open. But I don't think Redskins Nation, such as it is, doesn't care. I think everybody cares. Right or wrong, everybody's got an opinion on it. So you don't see it that way?
I don't see it that way. I mean, I don't think they're, especially since he's only going to be the offensive coordinator. He's not going to be the head coach there. As we said, you know, he won't get a chance to face the Redskins. If he's still the OC in Jacksonville, he'll come back to FedEx Field in 2022. It'd be interesting to see what kind of reception. Hell, he might be the head coach of the Jaguars by that point if Doug Marrone has another poor season. But I simply based on recent history, look at what these coaches have done outside of Washington. Mike Shanahan outside of the Redskins culture was really good. Kyle Shanahan is now back in his second Super Bowl since exiting Washington as an assistant coach. I mean, I just look at, you know, what these guys have done outside of the Redskins. and I've seen success. I think if he has some success with Gardner Minshew and Nick Foles down in Jacksonville, people might go, yeah, we always thought Jay was a good offensive coordinator. You know, he's just not a real good head coach, kind of like the Norv Turner syndrome. But I don't really think Redskin fans, maybe Tailgate Ted and Who Is Susie Q will all be, oh, the great's great for Jay. They've got a great offense. Other than that, I don't care. I don't care what Jay does.
Interesting.
Good.
I think there'll be a huge portion of the fan base.
Glad he has a job.
Yeah. The ones that, you know, I think reflexively hate us, honestly, just if we're being realistic about it.
Well, they tune in every day.
Some do. Some say they don't. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Numbers
what
say they do.
Happens.
Well, the analytics say,
yes,
they do.
Of course. I think there's a huge portion of the fan base that wants that guy to crash and burn. I think they want him to fail miserably, and because people love to be proven right. And in their minds, Jay was a problem. And they'll point to how much better they were with Bill Callahan than they were with Jay Gruden.
Well, they
won a couple games. I mean, the offense was terrible.
It wasn't like Jay lost a chopped liver.
No, I'm with you. I mean, again, I think these people are wrong, by the way, that I'm talking about, but that's what they'll point to. They'll say, see, they were more competitive under Callahan. He was a pro. It was too loose, and it was lax. I think people care. I think a lot of Redskins fans care and want to see him fail. The same way I think that initially they wanted to see Kyle Shanahan fail. They wanted to see him go somewhere and be out of the league and prove the only reason he got this job was because of his dad,
right,
which was wrong because he was a great coordinator, by the way, had top five offenses
in
Houston.
That.
And obviously he can coordinate some offense. We know that now. But that talk had to die down. But I think people want to be right. I don't think people like Jay Gruden, especially a huge faction of the fan base that was angry and will never get over how Robert Griffin ended. Tell me I'm wrong. It's fine. 800-636-1067. You guys on hold. Stay right there. Do you think Redskins fans, I just posted a poll at Funny Danny, do you want him to succeed in Jacksonville or fail miserably? Or ambivalent, like Pete seems to believe. 800-636-1067. Your call's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a simple question. And I've said with all due respect 81 times this hour. If you're telling me, who cares? The news just broke. He's going to Jacksonville. We're just talking here, okay? The who cares tough guy is among my least favorite internet guys. The who cares tough guy is just below the internet tattletale guy that, like, wants to get in good with an athlete or a public figure or somebody that's like, hey, at Pete Medders, did you hear what they're saying about you on The Fan? Okay, what do you hope happens? You guys are friends now? Because you told on the Big Bad Sports Talk guy? Or you know what I mean? Like, you guys are buddies now? You're part of the same fraternity of people that are in this together? Oh, it's the worst. The Twitter tattletale sucks. The guy right behind him is the who cares guy. Who cares about any of this? Who cares about anything at any point in time?
I'm guilty of that. I'm the who cares guy on this because Jay doesn't even control his own,
I'm not saying
his own
you,
destiny
Pete.
Here.
I'm talking about when I post a poll. Instead of voting in the poll, we're not doing anything. It's
Gives you a ramp. Yeah, right.
A lot of people do. Yeah. Okay, do I have time to explain this to you, how things work? You can say that you don't think the fan base is interested in that. That's a legitimate response, by the way. My point is, I'm just asking a question. 800-636-1067. Follow Pete at Pete Medhurst. I'm at Funny Danny. Post to the poll. Just curious. Jay Gruden's going to Jacksonville. He's the OC there. Option one, you want him to succeed because it proves some kind of point that you thought he was better than he got credit for, or that it wasn't his fault, that it was really Dan and Bruce. B, you don't like the guy and you want to see him fail. What do you got? Tim in College Park, what do you got on this?
Yeah, man, I definitely am a Jay Gruden fan. You know, Jay Gruden won us a division. he inherited a broken RG3. Then he had Kirk Cousins, who was an underachiever, was receivers like Deshaun Jackson, Pierre Garçon, and Jordan Reed. And then he led the league in like injury reserve players going to injury reserve. Got Alex Smith on our squad, started off 6-2, and then Alex Smith broke his leg. You know, Jay Gruden finished around 8-8, if you don't look at his first season as a head coach. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the longest tenured Redskins head coach under Dan Snyder. So, you know, I had good memories with Jay Gruden. So I definitely want to see the guy succeed in Jacksonville. And when you look at Jay Gruden's tenure and Washington, it was pretty much like playing with 7-2 every single hand and expecting to win when you have.
It's a great way to put it.
And everything else.
Great way to put it, Tim. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. I've been doing that a lot today, but cutting people off, trying to go to the next thing. Your boy's struggling today. I'm going to be honest with you. I had to do a whole start of a segment over once, Pete. I'm cutting people off when I think their points
were
made.
We'd made his point. He'd made his
good point. Tommy Manassas, you want Jay Gruden to succeed or fail?
Probably more so succeed than fail. I think he was a good coach. I think he's a great offensive coordinator. And, I mean, honestly, everything that happened, I would say, is on Bruce Allen's shoulders. He was dealt a bad hand, and he, you know, played his cards the way that he wanted. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. But I just, you know, he was set up to fail. And that last caller actually kind of stole my thunder and kind of, you know, went on a rant about, you know, how his tenure went and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I would like to see him succeed with the Jaguars. I mean, he's not even in the NFC, so it's not really affecting the Redskins. Yeah, so I think he's a great guy, so I would like to see him succeed.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate that. 800-636-1067.
He was dealt a bad hand personnel-wise, because I'm not sure even Jay wanted Alex Smith, to be honest with you, at the quarterback spot when Bruce went out and made that deal. But Jay could have changed his fortunes by firing Greg Minuski at some point, and he chose not to do that.
Yeah, so there's plenty of wrong that Jay did. By the way, I heard a lot about who Jay didn't want. You know who he did seem to want was Colt McCoy. You lose your credibility to me. You know what I mean? When you want somebody that bad. If you have it your way, Colt's your starter. There's nothing wrong with Colt McCoy. He's a good dude. Like, he's West Texas football. Woo! That's fine. I love me some Colt McCoy personally.
Similar to who? Who's Texas football? Andy Dalton.
Well, Andy Dalton. But, man, you lose a lot of steam with me if I didn't want this guy. I didn't want this guy. And the guy you do want should be with that first group of guys you didn't want. Let's go to Paulie in Norfolk. Paulie, what do you want to happen to Jay Gruden, succeed or fail?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
I want to see him fall on his face and bust his nose wide open. Man, this dude was horrible as a head coach, man. His teams was lackadaisical, undisciplined. They never showed up for big games. You know, he always had the answers after the game, but never did nothing to correct them. Look at the players he stabbed in the back. He played favorites. I mean, I can just go down the list of players. Darrell Young, Bree Quinn, what's the other guy? Ryan Grant, man. Ryan Grant was slower than molasses, but he was steady Eddie. That's why he kept playing. I mean, this dude was horrible as a coach, man. He held grudges. You know, Adrian Peterson, he held grudges against players and the front office. I don't care what you're given as a chef. You know, you make the best of what you got. He never adapted his team to play to his strengths. You know, everything – he was an arrogant, cocky coach for what reason? He never won anything. Only thing he ever won was Arena Football League, and that's what he is, Arena Football coach. That's why his passing game is good from the 25-yard line to the other 25-yard line.
Paulie, thank you, buddy. I got to let you jump. That's who I'm talking about. There are guys that, and I'm not picking on Paul at all, but I'm telling you, reflexively, there are people that hear Jay Gruden's name and just, they can't get over it. They just think he's just a complete bum. And by the way, a lot of what Paulie said, hard to argue. I don't agree with every bit of those things. Every coach plays favorites. That's who what you do. You start
Steven
a guy
Sims,
that you like.
It's not Cam Sims in comparison with Trey Quinn.
Well, but he in his mind, that Cam Sims was a player that they just sort of relegated. I don't know. I mean, so my point is, I think there's a lot of Redskins fans that feed out of that trough. I really do. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, what do you got on this? Succeed or fail for Jay Gruden? What are you hoping for?
Yeah, well, on option C, Danny, I want him to evolve, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't really feel animosity or anything like that, but here's what I observed. I observed a guy, and Paulie made a few of the points. a guy who, you know, was in love with his passing attack, which is quite elaborate and quite successful if you have all the pieces. Well, in the National Football League, you're never going to have all the pieces. I prefer coaches that take what they have and alter what they're doing based upon their talent. I felt he was almost Spurrier-like with his passing game. Mm. You get Alex Smith after that deal, even though, you know, he wasn't in on the Alex Smith deal. Why aren't you immediately, you know, creating an offense much similar to what he was running in Kansas City? No, instead you try to pound a square peg in the round hole and do your passing game. So I had a big problem with that. I had a big problem with him picking Joe Barry when he could have picked, Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
The AP benching was completely amateur. I mean, and he lost the locker room in part on that. I mean, here's what I think. I think Jay has an exceptional quarterback coach. I think he's an exceptional passing game coordinator. I think he has all kinds of issues with the running game, which is ironic because his dad was a running backs coach. But that's my concern with him. And Coach Flip, who I know because I went to James Madison, and Flip's now out and Jay's replacing him, the same criticism has been levied against him. He's too passing oriented. Well, you know what? Jacksonville just got, to me, a more seasoned version of Coach Flip. So, I don't know. I want him to evolve, to show me, yeah, you know what, he understands the running game. He's not playing favorites, as Paulie described. And that, you know, the other thing was he really poo-pooed the refs at practice move that Callahan made right after he was let go.
I remember that,
interviewed. And look, man, your team was always getting flagged, whatever. You got to have refs.
You got to at least try. Kevin, thank you, buddy. I got to let you jump. Really good phone call, as always. Appreciate you making it. The defensive coordinator things were indefensible, Pete. They were. You didn't hire good people. You hired guys that nobody else would have hired to be defensive coordinators. That's inexcusable to me. That is the number one black mark on Jay Gruden's record, in my humble opinion.
Completely agree.
You start getting into the other stuff, which to me, you know, I thought he was amateurish when it came to sometimes end of half clock management, sometimes timeouts. The consistently towards the bottom of the league when it came to procedural penalties and guys not lining up right. Try something different, right? Whatever you're doing wasn't working. You got to try. And to Kevin's point, Bill Callahan said, we're going to try something different. Let's say it doesn't work. Okay. At least you didn't just keep doing the same stupid crap over and over again. It's an interesting conversation.
You hung around in football games a lot longer under Bill Callahan's less risk philosophy. There's no question about that. And even though he had the same defensive coordinator and the same other coaches around him. Look, I mean, there's no question, and I don't know if Jay's ever going to be a head coach again, but if we've recycled some other people around the league, you figure at some point somebody may try to recycle him, especially if he has some offensive success down in Jacksonville. There are clearly other people that I would give a shot to before Jay as a head coach, but that who's to say that if he has success offensively, he won't succeed Doug Marrone one day?
I mean,
down
to me,
there.
He's normal Eugene Gruden. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No question.
I think you can be a good 100%. Offensive coordinator, and sometimes that's where you're supposed to be. I think that's what he's supposed to do. Good conversation, though. Appreciate you guys chiming in on that. I got a gripe. It's like one of the events of Festivus, Hall of Fame voting. It's a burr in my buttocks, and I can't stand it. 1 o'clock hour, got to talk a much ballyhooed and prolonged wait, a debut is happening tonight, Pete. We're going to talk about that in the 1 o'clock hour. But next, I am so annoyed at Hall of Fame voting. Got a big debut happening tonight that's been many months in the wait, in the waking, in the making. Again, I'm telling you, I don't know what the hell's going on with me today. Just trying to talk. I talk for a job. I'm out here struggling to talk. Maybe it's because I was nervous because Drab was in there, and when you have upper management judging everything you do, that's tough. Sean, welcome. Thanks for being here. Sean's here. Tom's here. Pete's here. I'm Danny. It's great, Danny, here on The Fan.
Hello.
So I ranted about this for a moment yesterday, Pete, and I got to do it again.
Go ahead.
I'm passionate about this, and I think most people just sort of roll their eyes. They don't really care. It doesn't really affect them. It doesn't affect me specifically. I just find it so bothersome. So Hall of Fame voting takes place yesterday. Or the ballots announced yesterday, et cetera. Derek Jeter, Hall of Famer. No problem. Derek Jeter should be a Hall of Famer. Easy, done. That's a no-brainer. Larry Walker, in his last year of eligibility, gets a big jump, and he makes it. I'd actually argue, given the current Hall of Fame, the way I would do it, and not even as extreme as Grant, the way I would do it would be probably a smaller, more narrow Hall of Fame. But if it's a baseball museum, Larry Walker, given some of the other folks that are in there, I think belongs. He was better than people gave him credit for. They just looked at Colorado and said, ah, dismiss that. He was a really, really good player in all of the stops that he made. So Hall of Famer, no problem there. So those two guys make the Hall of Fame. There's now a kerfuffle or a to-do because Derek Jeter didn't get unanimously voted into the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame voters drive me up the bleeping wall. This is now a thing because Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer of all time, again, a clearly deserving Hall of Famer, was a unanimous selection. And now that's somehow a different honor than being a Hall of Famer, right? Now we have to have tiers. So it used to be, well, this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And there are jackasses that didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr. because they don't believe in some sort of weird allowing a guy to be a first ballot guy. Or they wanted to save their vote so they could vote for, like, I don't know, Fernando Vina or some kind of crap in the first year of eligibility. Just weird BS that makes no sense. Is the guy a Hall of Famer, yes or no? That shouldn't change over the years. Larry Walker has not played. Larry Walker didn't take a single at-bat during the time that you said no, and now you say yes. You just made it about yourself.
Took 10 years. 10 years of voting for him to finally get the 75% necessary.
The threshold. So he got 76% this year. Yeah. He makes it. Tony Gwynn was a Hall of Famer the instant he retired. So was Cal Ripken. So was Barry Bonds. So was, Tom Seaver, Sandy Koufax. None of those guys got the percentage that Derek Jeter got. Now we're measuring percentages? This is the thing? Hall of Fame, yes or no? It shouldn't change year to year. This ridiculous distinction that Hall of Fame voters decided among themselves that they would allow certain players to be first ballot guys. If there's a first ballot wing in the Hall of Fame, you build it. Until then, Hall of Famer, yes or no? Stop this nonsense. Stop it. Barry Svrluga tweeted this out yesterday. I love me some Barry Svrluga. I don't have the exact quote, but he basically said, we need to stop having sports writers do this. And he's dead right. He's dead right. Enough. Enough with the Mike Lupicas. Enough with whoever this person is that didn't vote for Jeter or who didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr. or the jackass back in the 30s or 40s who didn't vote for Babe Ruth. Enough that it took Jimmy Fox 7 times on the ballot to get elected. Enough of the guy that didn't vote for Sandy Koufax because he didn't get 90% of the ballot. Enough for the guy that didn't vote in Mays and Mantle and DiMaggio and Garrick. Enough of this crap. Either guys are Hall of Famers the instant they're eligible or they're not.
Because in the grand scheme of things, Danny, to your point is, we talk about said individuals for, say, a 24 to 48-hour period after the voting takes place and the voting is revealed. And then guess what? We don't talk about you anymore. So you get your 24 hours of discussion where your name is bandied about and people call you all kinds of names now on social media, now that we have social media to do that. But other than that, the only thing you as a voter get out of that is your 24 hours of fandom and your 24 hours of fame because you were the one person that didn't vote for Derek Jeter in this situation. I'm with you. It's simple. Are they a Hall of Famer? Are they not? I don't care if we have 7 guys elected at one time or 2 guys elected at one time like we did yesterday. It's a simple yes or no question to whoever is responsible for making the voting. And also, there are some people that still vote in this full time who don't cover baseball full time. So I have a problem with that, quite frankly. I don't have a problem with the fact that they didn't lose baseball knowledge overnight. I'm not saying that. But, you know, people that don't cover full time baseball on a full-time basis right now, I have a problem as we continue on here, as we have more, you know, the modern players coming up that are slam dunks. And yet all we're talking about today is instead of Derek Jeter, the Hall of Famer, we're talking about the one donkey that didn't vote for Derek Jeter. That's not right.
And it's wrong on both sides because the idea that this is now the expectation that certain guys get the treatment of being 100% unanimous, again, the most surefire, nothing wrong ever in their whole life Hall of Famers. Tony Gwynn, Cal Ripken Jr., right, in that amazing class.
Not sure they didn't get 100%. Those players to do more in their career.
They didn't get 100% Pete.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
it's asinine.
It's like a backroom conspiracy. Somebody's going to say, okay, who's going to be the guy that stands up and doesn't vote because we know you can't make this unanimous. We have a reputation to hold up here and live up to.
So the discussion then turns to unanimous vote versus not. Who deserves that? Again, Derek Jeter is a Hall of Famer. There is no debate about that. Hall of Fame player, yes. Now we've got to go, well, Derek Jeter got a higher percentage of the vote than again, than Ken Griffey Jr. He got a higher percentage of the vote than Stan Musial. He got a higher percentage of the vote than name some of the greats ever. The greats of the greats. The first, the pantheons. The guy who you can't compare it to. Derek Jeter, again, is a Hall of Fame player. He meets the criteria. With all due respect to Derek Jeter, you ain't Mickey Mantle. You're not Ken Griffey Jr.
It's all timing and when you come up for a Hall of Fame vote, too. I mean, some guys come up when there are 10 or 12 guys that are worthy of major consideration.
That's all true.
And in this case right now, you look around Derek Jeter, the thing that helped Derek Jeter the most is you still got a bunch of guys percentage-wise. I mean, hell, even Curt Schilling got to 70%. You got guys that are on the periphery right now that are still scandaled by performance-enhancing drugs
or being
Curt Schilling's case, just being a weird dude. That's what's kept Curt Schilling probably from that extra 5% that he needs right now. Has nothing to do with whether he took the ball in key situations and won baseball games. It's because he was a weird dude.
Since they put the mound at 60 feet 6 inches, he's got the greatest strikeout to walk ratio of anybody ever to do it. I think I've got that stat right. The best.
Greatest.
Right? You got to go back to the 1800s. It was like
analytically. The best. Yeah. You cannot challenge it. It's analytically, statistically the best. You want analytics now to back up your opinions? We have that.
Some guy named One Sock Jones or something like that. Like left eye, I'm sure Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Maybe that's who it was. Back in the 1880s.
Had keep a, all had the a lighters away
strike
from
out
her.
The walk. I mean, I shouldn't be this bothered by this, Pete, but I am.
But you're not the only one. That's just, Dan, that's my point. This discussion is taking place all over sports radio today and from newspaper columnists around the country. This is happening all over the place today. We are talking about a donkey who did not vote for Derek Jeter instead of talking about the great career of Derek Jeter. Larry Walker's getting very little discussion today because we're talking about the person that didn't vote for Derek Jeter instead of talking about the 76% of the people who voted for Larry Walker and why.
And so now, I didn't even get to my annual diatribe about the alleged steroid and performance-enhancing users, right? The normal thing that I say about that every single year is I don't know when this shield and spear Spartan-style sports writer who gets to vote for this thing decided to become some sort of guardian of the game. Major League Baseball is the guardian of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball decides eligibility, a.k.a. you, Pete Metters, you're allowed to play in my league or you are not. You've been suspended for 81 games for a violation. You have not been suspended for 81 games because there's no violation that we can find. Baseball determines who can play baseball, right? Baseball was played, judge that. That's the end of your job. That's the end.
Yep.
They've made it something else. They've appropriated more authority to decide morals, to decide based on suspicion, to decide based on circumstantial evidence, how much it influenced their results or not. They decide, these guys that will never, ever vote for alleged steroid and performance enhancing.
But it's only, and even so, it's only a certain percentage of them. There's no criteria that tells them you cannot vote for this player because we still have a certain percentage of voters who are still voting for those players. So
When you judge Barry Bonds' career, that's a Hall of Fame career. That's the end of the discussion. He goes in the Hall of Fame then. Otherwise, what are you doing? Otherwise, this museum is incomplete. You've failed at your job. I didn't even get to that part because of the stupid unanimous thing. Pete, no, you got to run. Have a good flight.
Thank you.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll be back.
I got plenty to talk about left on the show. All right? You still got an hour with me. You're stuck with me. You'll have to deal with it. There's a major debut coming this evening. All right? A huge debut. And I'll tell you about it in 5 minutes. 103 next on The Fam. There's no offseason, not at the St. James anyway. DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James, it's a sports utopia. There's something for everyone there. Here's what was there this past weekend. This was really, really cool. The Kevin Durant MLK basketball tournament, the MLK Classic basketball tournament, was there this weekend. Some of the top high school teams and players from around the country. They've got the facilities that can accommodate that. That was awesome. The house has multiple state-of-the-art indoor venues. They got two regulation size ice rinks, turf field house, gymnastics center, even an Olympic-sized pool. Kids can also play at the Active Entertainment Center. Climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR game, a ropes course, massive water park. It's the perfect place to host a birthday party or event. The health club, top of the line. Equipment, weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. Every new member gets two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. And now, for a limited time, You join the St. James and you pay zero initiation fees and get $250 off of sports programming. Just visit thestjames.com/2020. That's thestjames.com/2020.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.